We are. Is that any better?
Yes.
Good. I love the interaction today, and it shows that this is kind of an important issue, isn't it? So the hope is that we'll be able to address some things that we see, and that we'll be empowered to have the right sort of relationships, ones that will bless us as we grow older. Let's just take one moment to pray, and then we'll look at this interesting topic. So let's just bow our heads and ask the Lord. So Lord, we come before you again as people who need your help, as desperate people, as people alive in the grace of God and not standing by anything that we've done. And we just ask that you would help us to take hold of the grace that you offer and the love that you have. If there are things that we have not confessed, we confess them to you now and say, Lord, open my ears to hear your word. And help us to enjoy this wonderful and freeing thing that we were made to be with you in a relationship. In your name, amen. So this topic came out of actually our previous topic. So our previous topic that we had, Special Sunday, was on loneliness. Why am I so lonely, if you remember? And I realized during that talk that many people would feel like, okay, yes, I don't want to be lonely, but I haven't a clue how to really have a deep and meaningful relationship. It's never quite worked for me, and I can relate to this because when I was young, when I was 18 years old, I became a Christian, and as a fresh and new Christian, I looked around and I just suddenly realized I have no friends. I mean, not even good friends. I had zero friends other than my family who had to love me. I didn't know closely anyone. And hadn't really bothered. And in that place, I thought, well, how am I going to get friends? And I literally drew a blank. I was like, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. And so because I had this newfound faith, I actually prayed at this point. And that's always a good thing to do. We'll have an opportunity to pray at the end regarding this. I said, Lord, I have no friends, actually. And it would be nice to have some, Lord, I guess. And the Lord indeed answered that prayer. Well, that was really weird for somebody from my generation, the millennials. Most people had friends, good friends. I didn't. But today that's becoming more and more common, actually. But people don't know how to have these serious and deep and real and significant relationships. It doesn't seem to quite happen amongst all the other things that we are doing. And so we've seen the number of deep friends drop statistically from 5 before COVID now down to 3. I have 3 friends. And we might say, well, 3 is what we want. That's close, just 3 close friends. But also, when we take statistics on this, people say that they're less happy with those relationships, less happy with what is coming out of those. And so we're generally moving away from each other and being known. And being really understood. And so this morning I want to look at, we're going to look at 4 things actually. The first thing I want to say is that the Bible tells us, friendship is really critical for your life. It's really critical. The second thing, why we're struggling. We want to understand what's gone on that has changed, that is not like previous cultures. And then 3, I just want to tell you guys about this wonderful potential best friend that you could have, and that is available to you right now. Okay, and then lastly, the secret to gaining and maintaining relationships that will be worth something. The big secret of that. Okay, so that's at least maybe a very useful tool in that. Okay, so we'll take a look at that. So let's start with why do relationships matter. Now, some people would say, let's just be honest, they don't matter. That's what they would say. In fact, Tinder, you guys, nobody knew what Tinder was. A dating app, it's the swipe, what is it, swipe right? I've never been on it, okay? I don't know what it does, but apparently there's pictures of people, and if you think one is attractive, then you swipe right, is that right? And then you're matched with that person, and it arranges for you to meet up or something. The dating app Tinder, they did a study, and they said that 72% of millennials, they've consciously made the decision to be single so that they can focus on themselves, okay? So they can focus on me, myself, and I. And so this tells us quite a lot, right? They're not wanting to pursue a relationship with others. They're interested in, they don't want to commit. Now this, by the way, just doesn't say that they're not using the website, they're not using the app. They actually are having lots of dating relationships and everything that that entails, apparently, but they say no commitment. And the reason they say no commitment is because I'm focusing on myself. And actually, I think that's really self-destructive. Focusing on yourself in a relationship is self-destructive. It's really self-destructive. Okay, but what does the Bible say? The Bible says that we are made in the image of God and that God is supremely relational. And so therefore we are too. We're made in the image of God and God is supremely relationship. And so supremely relational. And so there we are. We are too. So we're in Genesis chapter 1. We're just going to look at verse 26. You guys have heard some of this before. I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself. Verse 26, God is now going to create humans. And he's created everything in an orderly and fantastic way. Everything is perfect and it works well. And then the crowning act of what God makes is you. It's not even the stars. It's not even the other animals. It's you. And he's about to make mankind. And this is what it says. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and the livestock and all the wild animals. So that this is like they'll be the rulers of everything I've made. Over all creation. And then he says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So now I want you to focus on those words, let us, and the words our image. Is that singular or plural? It's plural. So what is God having a strange conversation with himself when he's speaking in the plural? This is kind of a bizarre aside. God is the only one that's around at this point. God is alone in making the universe. And yet when he makes it, he speaks of himself in the plural. Well, this is strange. I've done a whole lesson on this, and I'll make it available to you, okay? But there's something interesting going on here. The word in Hebrew for God is a singular plural thing. A singular plural thing. If that sounds weird, here's another example of a word that is a singular plural in Hebrew. It's the word maim, which means water. And it's a singular plural because there are many droplets of water, but it is all water, okay? It's got many, but it's got one. And God, in some way, is kind of like this. And this is the idea of the Trinity, okay? This is the idea of the Trinity. God the Father and God the Son and God the Spirit, that they always, it's not that God became Jesus for a while and then he lost his Jesus side and went back up to heaven, okay? It's that this was always the case with God. Within the God, the singular God, there is this plurality, this strange multiple thing going on. Even though, and this is even more interesting, they have the exact same essence. They share it. It's the exact same, and nobody has more of it than any of the other ones, which is all of it. So how that works, that's very paradoxical, isn't it? Why would Christians believe in a crazy idea like the Trinity, you ask? Why wouldn't they just say, let's just have one God? Well, very interesting. God is defined as being supremely loving. And the reason that the Trinity is real is because God always has somebody to love in eternity. If God is love, and he's in eternity, then is he just by himself with no one to love? No. The Father loves the Son, loves the Spirit. Throughout all eternity, there's this relationship of love. And in other words, the reason that the Trinity exists is so that God is not selfish and self-focused. The Father entirely focuses on the Son. The Son entirely focuses on the Father. They give all for each other. It's this profound relationship of love that is older than our universe, that is older than time. So now let's boil it down to our punchline. Relationship, it has outlasted everything, and it was before. The relationship that God has within himself. Isn't that shocking? What is that relationship like? Let's just turn to John 17, and we're going to read verse 5. John 17, 5. And we're going to see where we're going to go with this. John 17, 5. I sure hope that's where it is. There we are. Jesus speaking. He's on his way to the cross. He says, "And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." Glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world began. So Jesus says, I'm actually, you know, guys, I've come here to earth, but before this world was a thing, I was there with the Father. And we had glory. And now glorify me again, Father. And what is he talking about? He's talking about going to the cross. That's the glory. He's going to sacrifice his life for us. And that, in something of the sacrificing of his love, life for us, we see what God is like in eternity. It's the self-sacrificial love that is glorious about God, you see. That's the beating heart of God, that he gives all, Father to Son, Son to Spirit, and now we're invited too, and we're given this beautiful illustration of it, Jesus laying down his life for us. Profoundly relational, isn't it? God is profoundly relational. And we are wired for that sort of relationship too, because we are made in his image. Going back to Genesis 1:27, God has made us in his image. And what does that mean? It means that relationships, that's what causes us to have life. And if we don't have a deep and meaningful relationship, that leads to death. And so this is critical for you. Statistics, 13% of people have no friends at all. 13%. It's going up, by the way. Every year it goes up a little bit. And they say that's the equivalent of smoking 15 cigarettes every day. That's what people say. It's that bad for your health. Imagine, if you will, that someone is given everything they need. Everything they need and want. Except for human interaction. Is that good for them? Well, no, we already know what that looks like. That if you've been to an orphanage, some of the orphanages have people, children in them, and they get everything they need, but they are not interacted with. And what happens to them? They are in terrible medical conditions because they need that relationship. So the first part is I just want to convince you guys as much as I can. You might think I want this and I want that and I want this material thing and I want that material thing. But when it comes down to it, what you actually need is relationships. Deep, real, profound relationships. And if you do not have them, you will die. That's point number one. Relationships are critical because they come out of God's character and we're made in God's image. Point number two, there's a problem. Our natural tendency is towards selfishness in relationships. And that's been massively fed by our consumer culture. Our consumer culture has not helped that. They've said they've gone right along with our selfishness because they'd like to make some money off of us, okay? So outside of God, the default to how we view relationships is like this. What am I going to get out of this? That's the way we see relationships. When we go to people, we think, do they entertain me? what will they give me if I give them my attention? If I agree with their sort of things, what will they agree for me that makes me feel good about myself? And Jesus speaks about this a lot, okay? Luke 15 is one example of this. Jesus says things like, when you throw a party, don't invite those you know and those who are well-to-do, because they'll write down somewhere that you ought to have a party too, and then they'll invite you to a party, and you'll both be equal. And that's not love, says Jesus. You'll get back what you gave. That's a contract. During Christmas, my family's very loving, by the way, so don't think that I'm going after them. But during Christmas, we have, because we don't want to spend, so there's like 20 of us in the family now, okay? It's a big family. With all the children and whatnot, and if we were all to buy everybody else presents, you know, we would have to mortgage, you know, whatever, right, to do it. And so what we do is we each get one person a gift of exactly £100. So it's going to be that amount. I mean, it can waver a little bit, but it's going to be in that range. And here's what you do. You know, you're going to give 100 pounds, but you'll get 100 pounds back, right? Somebody's going to spend that exact. And we send exact things that we want. Please include links. We don't want to get the wrong thing with the money. It's too late then, you know? And so it's this contract, isn't it? And that's how we might go about relationships. And then something goes wrong in the contract. Someone scratches one person's back, but the person doesn't turn around and scratch the other person's back, and they say, "Gah!" And they go, "You're toxic," and they unfriend you on Facebook, and they burn you to the ground behind your back, right? Or maybe you do that to them. "I thought they were nice, but then they stopped giving me what they agreed to." That's not the kind of relationships we want, those selfish relationships. And so Jesus actually says, go to those who cannot repay you and invite them. And that's what love is. That's more authentic in its love. Okay, now, a major caveat here. There are incredible benefits to having a deep relationship. There are incredible benefits. But don't seek those benefits as if that's the reason for the relationship. That's the icing on the cake. Okay, that's the icing on the cake, is that you get even this wonderful reciprocation, as it were. All right, now, so society goes right along with our bad thinking, and that's our problem. Our problem is society has given us what we want, and it's made things quite a bit worse. And we have this term for this. It's consumer culture. Consumer culture. Give people exactly what they desire. And it's always sending a message to us, and it always wants to sell us something. And in order to sell us something, it has to have our attention. And that attention takes us away from where we would actually put our attention, which is on somebody else. We're too busy getting stuff for ourselves to think about somebody else. And so I want you to close your eyes for a minute. Just everybody close their eyes. Don't look. You don't cheat. Close your eyes. And I want you to think of your very best friend. Yeah? Do you have that person in your mind? Now open your eyes and see your very best friend. Yeah? Isn't it so? Isn't it? Isn't this what you actually spend all your time on? Isn't this the one that you share your heart with, sort of? I mean, you know, isn't this where you look for salvation? Isn't this what you, if you lost it, you would be more bothered, you know, than just about losing anything else? We've made, you see, it's taken over, hasn't it? This competes with you being with a real person. This gets in the way of what you really want. The cell phone and our technology and all these apps, they have taken over our lives. All right. I went to to get my MOT on my vehicle this week, and actually there was a ton of stuff that needed to be done on the car. So it was just like, here's my wallet. Just make this better. So it was very painful. And I started talking to the guy, and we're having a great conversation. And I look at him, and I see he's not married, and he's looking like he's getting older. And I said, yeah, you're gonna really want to prioritize finding a spouse. You know, you really want to think about that. And then he says, oh, I have a huge problem in relationships. And I said, oh, that's interesting. I'm doing a series on that, right? So we begin talking about that, and I'm telling him some things. And then eventually, I actually look over at him, and I'm like, tell me something. And I said, is this the longest conversation you've had this week? And he says, yeah. 20 minutes, guys. That's like long for us these days, okay? We've gone astray somewhere. And actually, if you watch YouTube videos, if you watch TikTok, if you watch Instagram, if you do these sort of things, it shortens your attention span. I'm just going to flat out say that. It will shorten your attention spans. If you think to yourself, I can't sit down to really read and just sit there and read and read and read. No, that's a waste of time. It's probably because you've been giving this piecemeal entertainment and you've said yes to it, right? And we've all said yes to it. And now we need to rethink that, because that's very selfish. It's very selfish. I mean, have any of you guys sat there and just wasted hours watching videos one after the other, and you look at the the phone, right? You have to stop the app. Okay, they've figured this out. They don't want you to see the time is going on the app, so they hide it. You have to get out of the app for a second. You're like, oh no, it's like 1 a.m. And you think to yourself, I've gotten nothing done for the last 3 hours and I feel terrible. And I definitely didn't read my Bible or anything. Good grief. It's taken over and it's not good for us. One last illustration. When I first came here, we would get on the tubes. I don't know. Anyway, we'd get on the wonderful transportation system, which is a bit expensive. But I would sit there and I would see two things. Number one, if you didn't have somebody to talk to, which is most people, everybody had a paper in hand. The metro, okay? They're reading, okay? Or number two, if you had a friend, you were very quiet, not too loud, but you're having a nice conversation, not interrupting anybody. I never see that anymore. Do you know why I never see it? Anybody know? Wi-Fi! Wi-Fi has come, and so everybody now is on their phones, you see, and nobody's talking to each other. No one's doing any of that. So the society is just feeding on our perpetuation to be selfish. And it's giving us all sorts of ways to be selfish, but there's no way you can have a deep relationship like that. So now, let's hit our next point, okay? So relationships are important, but we tend to be self-focused. Good relationships are others-focused. And tech doesn't help. Now, third, more positively, we can have the very best, deepest, and most meaningful relationship of our life right now. And who is that? Who am I going to say? Jesus, that's right, Jesus. So let's turn to John 15, and we'll look at verse 13. John 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So this is Jesus. He's about to go to the cross, and what he's telling them is that I'm going to give you the greatest love. I'm going to show you what the greatest love is, and here it is. I'm going to lay down my life for you, and you will be my friends. And actually, in the laying down of Jesus' life, that is how we become friends with God. Because we're not friends with God as we normally are, because we are selfish, because we are full of sin. But Christ will go and he will sacrifice everything to bring us into his presence, to be his friend. What I'm trying to tell you is that God wants to be your friend. And he's gone to tremendous lengths so that you could be a friend of his. Abraham is called the father of faith. He's also the friend of God. Jesus says to his followers, same chapter, I think, I do not call you servants or slaves. I call you friends because I'm telling you everything that's on my heart. And he wants to be our friend. Will you make time for this friend today? John 1:12, I'll just read it. To all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's a deep and powerful relationship. You now belong in the family. You are a child. God wants you to be friends with him. He wants you to have the relationship of a child. And so scripture tells us that everyone who trusts in the Lord, if they look to the cross and they confess their sins and they surrender to God, that God sends his spirit into their hearts and into their lives. And that they are not alone anymore. And I can testify that that is exactly what happens. And it's different what people experience. But God comes and he lives with us. And he wants to be your number one friend. And he is really actually violently upset that this is your number one friend. Put him back on the throne because he loves you. And if you don't have him as a friend, for goodness sakes, don't miss out on the most wonderful thing that you were made for. That you were made for this. Now, I had a friend, he became a believer, but before he was a believer, he liked to sit and write poetry, and he would write love poetry, and he wasn't in a relationship when he was writing this love poetry, and he would write this love poetry about the beloved that he was going to find, you know, the person that was going to put their arms around him and make him feel complete and make him feel whole and give him what he was missing, and set him aright, and how he would love that person back. And he just write all of these poems, and then he met Christ. And he realized that all of those poems were actually not about the wife that he was eventually going to marry. They were about Christ. You guys are made to be with the Lord and to be in community. We talk about things that we do to stay in community, like reading God's word and praying, and it's like it's a drag. Oh, I read God's word every day. Oh, I have to pray. No, these are how you commune with God. And you come into his presence, and he's your very best friend, and he sets your life aright. I hope you're hungry for that. Last thing for today, how do we form and find other deep friendships and relationships, ones that will last? It comes out of our connection with Christ, actually. It's by reflecting all the love that God has given us to other people, especially other believers. And so we read it. Let's turn now to Colossians chapter 3, verses starting in verse 12, and then we'll pull out some applications, okay? Starting in verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. So summing, and I'm really not going to dive into the little bits and pieces of this, but just summing up, Jesus has been such a good friend and so loving to us, you reflect that friendship to other people. And specifically, to other Christians, but also to everyone as a whole. And it says here, show compassion, show kindness, show humility, show patience, show forgiveness, but make sure you take care of yourself. Make sure it's about you. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't say that at all, you see. The focus is gone. If we put the focus on us, it's going to fail us. If we will say, I will go and love someone because Christ has loved me, and that they don't have to be meritorious of that, and they don't have to give me all sorts of things for what I'm giving them, that's going to free you up to have a real and meaningful relationship. That's going to free you up to really listen to them because they're valuable. That's going to free you up to do the most amazing things, because it's not about how worthy they are. It's about how worthy Christ was for you and how now you're going to do that in somebody else's life. You think about Christ. He looks at us and he says, I will die for them. And he's not saying I'm going to die for them because we are lovely. Because, you know, if we are a woman, we're not beautiful and well made up and, you know, really interesting. We have halitosis and our hair is everywhere and we're not beautiful to behold. But God says, I just love them. I just love them and I want them. And I'm going to pour my affection out on them. And we do the same with others because Christ has done it for us, you see. This is the secret to having friendships. If you were to be compassionate and kind and humble and patient and forgiving, if you were to just even to listen to people rather than just to say, I want to talk. It's about me telling you what I think. If you were to do those things, everybody would want to be your friend. Everyone would. And this is why I don't. Still, to this day, I could work in my friendships because I talk too much about myself, yeah? Okay, we have this problem, don't we? We put Christ at the center, we accept his love, then we go and we love the church. Now, two more little things to talk about as we close our time here. This is for Christians. God is calling us, he's actually commanding us, be friends with others in the church, in his body, okay? He's telling you to have deep friendships with other Christians. And he's not saying to have deep friendships with the world. In fact, you have to be careful about how you interact with the world. You can have friends, but I would reserve your deepest friendship for other people who also want to live for the Lord. If you decide that you want to have a friend that doesn't want to live for the Lord, and you really get to know this person, you really dive in, you're going to be tempted to chart together a course that goes away from the Lord. Okay? And so I would just say your deepest friendships, you really want to have other Christians. And look, there's a lot of you here. Be friends with each other. Be deep friends with one another. It's going to take patience. It's going to take forgiveness. it's going to take compassion. You're going to have to ignore some of the obnoxious things they do. And I think you can do it because you have been obnoxious towards God and he has loved you. So let me summarize. So what we've seen is that the relationships are absolutely critical for our identity because it's attached to God's identity. And God is supremely relational, and you were made to be supremely relational. What's the problem? We focus on ourselves. We focus on ourselves when we ought to be other-focused, and love is other-focused. Jesus is the beginning of seeing things differently. He who would lay down his life, he was focused entirely on the Father and entirely on us, and he'd give his life away. Will we then accept what he offers, have him as our true close friend? And will we then go and share that with other people in the church? Other people that we know that are Christians and build each other up? Will we do those things? Which of those did you need to hear about this morning? I'm going to pray for you all in a moment. And I don't know if you guys have really good, deep friends, but that's what I'm going to pray, that God would give you some deep, deep friendship. And as I pray that, why don't you just go along and pray whatever it is that you want to pray regarding this and say, God, this is where I want to see myself going here. Okay, so let's just bow our heads and pray and we'll finish up our lesson. Thank you, Lord, for getting us through this very interesting section. And I'm aware that people are terribly lonely, Lord. And I'm aware that there's a good chance there are people here who don't have a lot of friends, maybe no deep friends. And I've been there. And I pray now that you would give them real and true friends that care for them and love them, but that they also would be able to go and love that person, and that there would be the bonds of grace and mercy upon that relationship. And I pray that it would help us, Lord. And if anybody doesn't know you, Lord, they don't have that relationship at all, I pray that you would begin to speak into their heart and say, I am a real God and I really love you. I really want you for my own. And they would know that